by that time in there. The rest of us will turn to the book of Philippians. Been here for a little while. We'll be here for a little while more, but I hope it's coming alive to you as it has come to me. It's a wonderful book. But Paul in verses 12 through of chapter 3 of Philippians, verses 12 through 16, he talks about the prize. He's going for the prize. He's reaching for the prize. He wants to get that prize. What's the prize? Well, we talked about this last week. The prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When God at the rapture will raise him up, he'll receive his glorified body because he can't attain it on this life. He can't be perfect and neither can you. But one day you will. But when that body goes up into heaven, he will see Christ. And the question is, will he be like Christ? That was his desire. You see, I think the Apostle Paul, I'm beginning to think a little bit like he thinks. Hopefully I'm right. But he saw Christ on the road to Damascus. Remember the road to Damascus? And it changed him forever. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Again, he saw the righteousness of Christ, the knowledge of Christ. He saw the power of the resurrection. He saw the fellowship of his suffering, that one day God was going to give him that perfect glorified body when he went to heaven. And Paul knew he would face Jesus Christ again. He saw him once. He had a privilege you and I don't have. That's to see the Savior when he was on the road to Damascus. But when he saw Christ, he was not even saved. His life was one of hatred for the Jews. The Christians. Hatred for the church. Hatred, literally, for Christ. The false Christ. When he saw Christ and Jesus identified himself as the one he persecuted, Paul knew he would see Jesus again. And his desire was to be so different than when he saw him the first time. He wanted to have Christ's likeness. That was his goal. That's why he said, I press toward the mark. The word mark there is goal. I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark, the prize, the goal is to be like Christ when I see him face to face. And I think that needs to be your desire as well. Now, can I stop here for a minute? Because I know what some folks are thinking. I could never be like the Apostle Paul. And if you think you could be like the Apostle Paul, wow, you're far beyond me. He was the finest, the greatest Christian that probably ever walked on this earth, apart from Jesus Christ himself. The impact that he made, we'll never know till we get to heaven. The amount of souls that went from the eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven, it's unfathomable how many he affected. Talk about godliness. It oozed out of him. And I think this is where some folks get discouraged a little bit. And you sit back and say, you keep talking about spiritual growing and being more like Christ. But I could never be like the Apostle Paul. But you know what the beauty of Scripture is? You don't have to be like the Apostle Paul. Because God made each one of you different. He made me different than he made you. He gave me certain gifts and certain talents, certain abilities. And all I have to do, as I stand before God one day, I'm going to be accountable for what God has given me. So you don't have to attain unto the Apostle Paul. You don't have to become like the Apostle Paul. You don't have to be as godly as the Apostle Paul or make an impact like the Apostle Paul made. You just have to be what God wants you to be. But I think he wants you to grow. I think Paul had it right. From the moment he saw Christ on the road to Damascus to the time at the rapture, his body was going to be raised up. He wanted to be more like Christ. And I hope that's your desire. Since you were saved, do you want to be more like Christ? Can I ask you a question? Since the time you got saved to right now, are you a little bit more like Christ? Do you desire to please him? Do you desire to know him and the fellowship of his suffering? the power of his resurrection, to the knowledge and the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, the justification that comes that I'm clean in Jesus Christ. I'm positionally clean. You should want to grow. It may be just small steps, but I'm going to tell you something. The Christian who goes, and I watch, boy, Christians get excited and then down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And I appreciate the ups, but the downs, but you don't grow that way. Here's how you grow. It's just a steady, consistent rise. Consistent and steady. So you're not going to become a great Apostle Paul tomorrow, but just be a little bit better tomorrow than you were today. Help somebody become, make a difference in their life tomorrow. Just a little help, more than you were today. That's what the Apostle Paul, I think, is trying to teach the Philippian church, that they need to grow, they need spiritual growth. And so in this passage, last week we gave 9 reasons why you should want to grow. But in verses 12 through 16, and you have to look in there, but if you look in those verses with me, you'll find he gives us 6 ways to grow. 6 elements necessary to growth in our Christian life. 6 things that'll help you to become more like Christ. Not like this, but just a steady little growth. That when you see Jesus Christ one day, or your bodies, if we get to the privilege of going up in the rapture, or we die and one day at the rapture our bodies are brought up, that our bodies will be more like Christ, conformed to his image. That should be your desire. So not to be like the Apostle Paul. You know, he said this, and we'll cover this next week. He said, be a follower of me. He wasn't saying follow me. He was saying, have the same desires I have to be like Christ. Be like Christ. So you say, Pastor, how can we do that? Well, we started it last week. Number one, it begins with an awareness. You've got to know where you're at in your Christian life. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, and you're not where you need, and you know you are not where you need to be spiritually, you just simply need to be aware of that. You know, yeah. Again, if you don't just have a diet to have a diet, but some of you will go on a diet maybe because the doctor told you you need to. Every time I go into his office, he tells me I'm obese. He reminds me that I need to. But you know what? When we have an awareness that, you know what? For me, it's my clothes don't fit. You know, I'm wore out. And so I say, I'm aware of the battles I have, so I need to go on a diet. Well, that's a little bit what the Apostle Paul says. In verse 12, he said, in verse 11, he said, now that I speak it, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why I'm having problems. See, Steve, we all go to the wrong verse. He says, not as though I had already attained, not as though, or were already perfect. He said, I haven't arrived. I know my weaknesses. And the Apostle Paul did have some weakness, because he said, when I am weak, then am I what? Strong. I don't know what his battles were. I don't know what he faced on a day-by-day basis, but he faced some things, and he was aware of it. The greatest Christian to ever live was aware that he had some battles and some problems. And that's what made the Apostle Paul the one who steadily would grow and become like Christ. And I think when he faces, he even acknowledged it a little bit at his death. He said, I'm ready to go. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He knew he had worked to become more like Christ. But it began with an awareness, not as though I had already attained or I was already perfect. I can't tell you how many Christians today sit back and say, I'm good enough. I go to church once in a while. I read my Bible once in a while. That's good. Well, if that's your attitude, I appreciate you going to church once in a while, and I appreciate you reading your Bible, but you're not going to grow. You're not going to become more like Christ. There has to be an awareness that I need to improve. I need to work on these things. So Paul said in verse 12, not as though I'd already attained. That's number one. But he gives us a second thing in verse 12 as well. But he said, I follow after. And then he said, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. There he gives the reason. But he began it with saying, but I follow after. That's an interesting word because you have to, I follow after. But you've got to take a look, and I get to look from the Greek, and I get to look some of the meanings behind the Greek words that are there, and it means a diligent pursuit. When Paul said, I follow after, it was meaning to run and to press. It speaks of an aggressive and energetic endeavor. I mean, he gave effort. It takes effort to live the Christian life. It really does, folks. Now, I'm not talking just survive and do a little bit for God. I'm talking to live the victorious Christian life. It takes effort because it takes effort to pray. It takes effort to read the scriptures. It takes effort to give out a gospel tract. It takes effort to live godly and righteous in an ungodly and unrighteous world. It takes effort, folks. And Paul said, I follow after. I work at it. I do the best I can. Paul pursued the spiritual prize. Literally, I put down with all his might, straining every spiritual muscle that he had to win the race, to receive the prize. He gave the effort. But here's what Paul wanted you to see. He said, I follow after. I give the effort. It's work, folks. It may be getting up a little earlier, staying up a little later. It may be taking your lunch hour. It may be taking the time to be committed to what God would have you to do, what you get to watch on TV and what you shouldn't watch on TV, what you should do and what you can do and what you shouldn't do. It takes effort. It takes choice. But Paul said, here's why. Here's why I follow after. He said, if that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. See, Paul's goal in life to become like Christ was consistent in Christ's goal in saving him. What was Christ's goal in saving Paul? Well, we find that in Paul stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Foreknow is by divine decree or purpose. God knows everybody. And again, I tell you this quite often because I want to remind you this. I don't believe God chose who would be saved. I believe God sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the whole world. And so he didn't choose some of you to be saved and some of you not to be saved. I don't believe that. I believe in election, but election are those who choose to trust Christ as their Savior. I believe, and I'm not going to get into it now, but I believe that there's election for salvation. There's election for works. God has called some of you and elected some of you to accomplish his purpose, but he never called any of you. He didn't choose who would be saved. Election is not for salvation, but it's for service. But he says here, who God foreknew, he knew, because he is sovereign. He's an almighty God. Who Christ knew who would get saved, so whom he did foreknow, he also did. Now listen, here it is. He did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son. That's why God has saved you. That's his purpose. Now he loved you and he sent Jesus Christ because he didn't want you to go to hell. He wanted you to live with him and fellowship with him for eternity. But if you need a purpose on this life, it's to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what his desire was. He saved you. Whom he foreknow, he did predestinate. He's given you the gifting, the abilities to be conformed into the image of his son. See, that was Paul. Paul said, if that's why God saved me, then that should be my goal in life. To become more like Christ. So God didn't choose Paul, as he did with all believers, to make them like Christ. That the purpose for which God saved us is also the purpose for which we live. See, that was the Lord's goal in saving Paul, and that was Paul's goal in his response. If that's why God saved me, then I need to become more like Christ. See, if you get that principle and that truth, we've heard it a couple times in Sunday school and in the songs, that we need to be soul winners. We need to throw out the lifeline. We need to reach out to a lost and dying world. But that's not your goal in life. Your goal in life is to become like Christ. But the more you become like Christ, guess what? What did he do? He threw out the lifeline, didn't he? Everywhere he went, he gave out the good news of Jesus Christ. So the goal that I have for you isn't to become a better soul winner. My goal that I would like you to see that you strive for is to be more like Christ. And if you're more like Christ, it'll take care of everything else. See, I don't think I have to harp on you to read your Bible, to pray. Because the more you become like Christ, those things become an automatic in your life. They really do, folks. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, but it's work. It's work. Here's why I strive for that goal, because that's why God saved me, to become more like Christ. And if God saved me to become more like Christ, then that's my goal. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. When my body's taken up at the rapture and I go up into heaven and I meet Jesus face to face, I want to be more like him at the rapture than I was when he saved me. I want to grow. And to do that, he said, you've got to be aware of where you're at. But number two, there's got to be an effort. And I wrote down maximum effort. You have to work at it, folks. You have to strive to be like Christ. It takes work to read your Bible. It takes work to pray. It takes work to be faithful to God. There's so much in our past and in our lives today that conflict with church, with conflict with fellowship and the things that God really wants us to accomplish. There's so much out there. But it takes maximum effort. So Paul said this in his goal. He said, number one, I want you to be aware that not as though I had already attained or already perfect. But number two, he said, I gave maximum effort. I follow after. What do I follow after? If that I may apprehend or become or accomplish that which I also am apprehended for of Jesus Christ. That's why he saved me. So I'm gonna reach for the prize. I'm gonna strive. I'm gonna be aware. I'm gonna give maximum effort. But number three, this is the one that really I needed very desperately. He said, not as though I've already attained or already perfect in verse 12, but I follow after. But in 13, he says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. All right? He said, I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived Christ's likeness yet. That's my goal. And for everybody, it's a different. For everybody, the goal's the same, but how you attain is different. Because you don't have to be like the Apostle Paul. He was gifted in an amazing way. He was, after all, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of high stock, high training. I think he was brilliant in his mind to write the scriptures, and I know it was given to him by the Holy Spirit, but to write 13 books of the New Testament and these letters and the wisdom that he used, he was way above most of us, folks. And so I could never attain unto the Apostle Paul, but I can become what God wants me to become. But he said the third thing is, the third goal is a focus or concentration. That's why he said in this passage, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, that's a maximum effort without focus and concentration is useless. Every athlete, if you've done any running whatsoever in competition, every athlete knows that runners in a race must fix their eyes on the goal ahead of them. Because if they start to look around in the crowd, they start to look down, they start to look back at who's coming up on them, what happens when they do that? They lose time. They're going to lose their place. They're going to trip. They're going to fall. They're going to go out of the lane and be disqualified. But Paul said, this one thing I do, this one thing I do to make a maximum effort in athletic endeavor requires the participants to concentrate on a point straight ahead of them. That's why Paul said, this one thing I do. It is a singularly focused people who succeed in athletics and in other pursuits of life. For many people dabble in much but succeed at nothing. And despite all the energy they expand, they accomplish very little for Christ. He said, this one thing I do. Here's what I think the Apostle Paul did. When he got up in the morning, he focused on the fact that he needed to be more like Christ today. I don't think he took the whole goal every day, but he just said, how can I be more like Christ today? I could hear the Apostle Paul say this. Lord, lead me across the path of someone who needs the gospel today. God, help me to be a blessing to somebody that's hurting. Help me to be a blessing and encouragement to another brother or sister of Christ. Somehow, God, help me today and to be more like Christ. And I think when Paul went through his day, he looked for opportunities because he was focused. He said, this one thing I do. His whole goal was to become like Christ. But what he focused on was, what can I do today to become more like Christ? And he looked for the opportunity. I promise you this, folks. You just have to trust me on this. We miss the opportunities today because we don't look for them. I think they're there. I think God does bring people across our path. I think God does bring situations before us that we could be a blessing and we could be a help to make us a little bit more Christ. But we're so busy with our lives. We're so busy in the world. We've got this to do and this to do. And I got this time frame to meet. And I've got to do this and I've got to do this. As a pastor, I've got my day all set. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And all of a sudden I get a phone call. It says, I need you to, and I wish I could go back up to the hospitals. They're not allowing anybody in the hospitals yet. So-and-so's in the hospital, and could you visit them, Pastor? Oh. Now, I don't mind the visit, but you know what? My day's all planned out. When I go up to the hospital and drive up there, spend the time, go up to the hospital, come home, I've lost my day. See, that's sometimes how we think, and I think. But maybe I should think, God, use this to make me a little bit more like Christ. It doesn't matter what I accomplish today. The key is I'm becoming a little bit more like Christ. Oh, I may not get all the things done I wanted to get done here, but I can become a little bit more like Christ. Focus. Paul said, this one thing I do. Oh, what a powerful truth. I'm convinced it would change Faith Baptist Church. It would change the lives of the folks sitting under the gospel preaching of this message. It would change your life if you would just, in the morning, focus. I'm becoming more like Christ. What can I do today? Help me to find something today. God, if it's a gospel track, if it's helping somebody in need, if it's making a visit, if it's giving a word of encouragement, if it's making a phone call to be a blessing to somebody, and how can I become a little bit more, just a little bit more like you today? I'm telling you what, the opportunities are there if you would focus on them. I think that's what Paul's saying. I just had to focus on them. This one thing I do, when a believer has one driving compulsion to be like Christ, that's the goal, they'll move forward towards spiritual growth. But Paul, in this one thing I do, he had a negative response and a positive response. There's some negative things you have to do. Look what he says. But this one thing I do, the negative portion is forgetting those things which are behind. Paul maintained his focus by forgetting those things which are behind. A runner who looks back risks being passed. Nor does a runner's past performance, he thinks, well, I beat that guy and I beat so-and-so. I got it in the bag. Boy, when you have that attitude, you're ripe for a loss. You're going to lose. Paul said, I can't look back at my past experiences. I can't look back at my past victories. I've got to keep my eyes focused on the goal. The goal is to become more like Christ. So he said, in order to accomplish that goal, in order to focus on being more like Christ, I've got to forget the things of the past, forgetting those things which are behind. The past is not relevant. What matters is making the maximum effort in the present so as to sustain momentum in future. The word forgetting does not mean obliterating. It's not forget all the good times and everything that happened in the past. That's not what it's talking about. I love to hear the folks talk about when they built this church. I love to see I don't love to see it, but I'm amazed as I watch that as the steel beams are up here and men from this church are up on those steel beams putting this church together. Man, I would have fallen as quickly as I got up there. I'm amazed at what they accomplished. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget the joy of establishing this church and building this building and the work that God's done. He's not saying don't obliterate it, but don't rely upon that. Forgetting the past. It's a conscious refusal not to let things of the past consume your attention or hinder your spiritual growth. Boy, that's people who battle things. They battle things today, you know why? Because of things that happened in their past. They can't get the victory in the present because they battle the past. Well, I grew up in this home. I was treated like this. I got treated like this at school. And we go back to the past to make an excuse of why we don't live properly in the present. Paul said, forget the past. The present is today. God will give you strength today. God will give you the wisdom today. Don't let the past hinder your spiritual growth. Paul had to break everything with the past. You don't think he had a lot of past to forget? I imagine Paul, when he went to bed at night, could look at some of the men he took out of their homes and he watched the children as they grabbed dad's leg as he dragged them out. For what? Because they were thieves? Because they were robbers? Because they were murderers? No, they were simply Christians. Paul had to live with the fact that there was probably, and I'm just guessing, some kids with their hands grabbed onto dad's legs. They dragged them out into prison and put many of them to death. He destroyed homes. He destroyed children. He destroyed everything to destroy the name of Jesus Christ. Talk about a past. I could see the Apostle Paul saying, God, I could never live for you. I could never serve you. Look what I did. I killed those people. He orchestrated the death of Stephen. I mean, he was in charge of the death of one of a great saint as he watched him. And he looked up into heaven and he said, Lord, lay this sin not to their charge as they threw the stones and killed him. I think that's part of the reason Paul got saved. He saw Stephen. But if I know our minds, he saw Stephen quite often. He said, this one thing I do, though. My goal is to become like Christ today. God, just do something in my life today. I don't think Paul looked down the road. I think he just wanted to grow today. What can I accomplish today, God? Help me to focus on today. But Lord, help me to forget those things which are behind. Oh, we have some great memories, but help me not to live in the past. Now, don't get this wrong. They were wonderful, wonderful people, but there's probably a reason why I don't do a lot of testimonies. Because in the first church I was at, as a youth pastor, the pastor would quite often do testimonies. And there's nothing wrong with it. But he'd give testimonies and people would stand up and, And here's what they would say. And somewhere along the line, the folks in this church were taught that I thank God for every one of them. The first thing that came out of their mouths was, I thank God for my salvation. That's a wonderful thing. Somebody had taught them along the road, the first thing they need to be thankful for is their salvation. But then here's what they would say. And these are good people. They're wonderful people. But it just used to drive me nuts because they'd say, yeah, I remember 40 years ago, I used to teach Sunday school. I remember 30 years ago, I used to work in the bus ministry. I remember 35 years ago, I used to, and I'd always want to stand up and say, I don't care what you did in the past, what are you doing today? Those folks lived in the past. Their past successes, their past ministries. But the question isn't, what did you do? Because we have some folks in this church and they've gotten older and they can't work in the buses anymore. They once did. They can't teach Sunday school kids. They probably could, but they don't feel like they could because they don't communicate as well anymore. They can't do the things they used to do. And so we have a tendency to rely upon the past and what we did. But God loves the past and he's appreciative of all you did, but he wants to know, what are you doing today? That's why I use this illustration quite often. Bless her heart. One of my favorite ladies in all the world, Mrs. Weingarten, Joanne Weingarten. Oh, I thank God, if no other reason God brought me to Faith Baptist Church was to get to know her. What a wonderful servant of God. If you watched her hands, they were like this. As I shook her hand, it was so hard. She would say, Pastor, I can't drive. You know what she did? With those arthritis-filled hands, you know what she did? She wrote cards. If you were sick, she'd send you a card. If it was your birthday, she'd send you a card. If she knew you were discouraged or down, she'd send you a card. I know I took her over stamps, and it didn't take her long to go through 50 stamps. I kept going to the store and buying her cards and taking cards over to her, and I said, how are you doing on cards? Oh, I'm out. And you know what she always did? She always wrote a little note in it. Say, well, that's not much, but that's something. I know there's a lot of older people. You can't do what you used to do. But my question for you is, from the Apostle Paul, what are you doing today? You can be a blessing by a phone call. You can be a blessing by a word. You can be a blessing by taking some young Christian under your wings and just meeting them at McDonald's for, I don't know if you know if you can go into McDonald's. Probably not. You can go into Taco Bell, though. Can't get coffee, but you can get a pop. Just spend time with somebody. Our older people are so filled with so much knowledge and so much wealth. We have a tendency to live in the past. And Paul said, this one thing I do, today, present, this one thing I do today, I forget those things which are behind. I can't rely upon them. What am I doing today to become more like Christ? That's where the spiritual growth. If you're dependent on the past, you're not going up. You're either staying flatlined or you're going down. You want to continue your growth, you have to continue to be focused on what the Lord. It's a negative, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had to break with everything from the past, good and bad. Religious achievements, good deeds, great successes in the ministry, as well as in the sense of the missed opportunities and the disasters. They must all be forgotten. Focus on the present. Believers cannot live on past victories, nor should they be debilitated by the guilt of past sins. I've had so many people, well, I could never do that because, you know, I lived the wicked life. Forgetting those. You think you were more wicked than the Apostle Paul? Don't let your past sins, Don't let your past failures keep you from growing toward Christ. He said, I forget the past, forgetting those things which are behind. I wrote this down and I'm almost through. Churches are full of spiritual cripples that are paralyzed by grudges, bitterness, sins, tragedies that happened in the past. Paul said, I forget those things. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. This one thing I do. Not only was he aware, but he gave maximum effort. Number three, he put those things behind. But the positive is this, and I'm through. Paul kept his focus by reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Don't worry about what happened in the past, good or bad. Find something today, just today, to be. Maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Maybe it's when you go out to eat, you leave a gospel tract to the waitress and tell her she did a good job. Tell somebody they look very nice today. Be an encouragement. Be a blessing. If someone has a need, try to fill that need in their lives. You see it today. Don't have the attitude somebody else is going to do it. Paul said, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. It's a word that indicates 100% effort. And I'll close with this illustration. The Olympics, maybe because it's in China, just hasn't thrilled me this year. I usually love the Olympics. It's a time I just love it. But I haven't got into it. But there is one thing I like to watch. And that's curling. Because it's the only time curling happens. I mean, I even watch Japan and Switzerland, or whoever won. Well, Great Britain beat Japan women's curling last night. You say, why in the world would you watch that? I just love it. I love it. But one thing, during commercials or something, I'd go and when I could find speed skating, you know that round track where they go around like four together? You have the team and you have that. They're joggling in and out. They're cutting each other out and sliding in the wall, hitting the wall. That's one event that is, I don't mind watching. You know what I like the most about it? When they come to the very end, have you ever watched them? It's the first skate that crosses the finish line wins. And they reach out for all they have, and they just, I don't know how they don't fall. They almost do the splits to get that skate out there to be the first one across the line. That's what I see with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I see with the Apostle Paul. He'd do anything he could today to become more like Christ, because he knew one day, when his body was resurrected, it was going to be perfect then, but would it be more like Christ? He said, you need an awareness. Number two, it requires effort. That's why Christ saved you. Number three, it takes focus. Forgetting those things which are behind. This one thing I do, reach forth unto the things which are before me. All I ask you is make a difference in somebody's life today. Do something, even though it's small, do something to make you more like Christ today. And then tomorrow, ask God what you can do to become more like him today. That's what Paul did. That's what made him a great servant of Jesus Christ. And he said, one day when I stand before Christ, I'm confident that I'm going to receive the prize. For what's restored or placed up in heaven for me is a crown of righteousness. But he said it's also given to those who love his appearing, who are ready for his appearing because they're becoming more like Christ. What a powerful truth. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I have much more to give you. I'd like to. Either that clock is wrong and runs too fast, or I just talk too slow. Because there's so much here from the Apostle Paul. He got it. And I'm trying to give you the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul that you can make a difference. Not like him, but like God has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's why God saved you. And if that's why God saved you, is it your desire to fulfill that goal? And just grow a little bit more today. Stop relying on the past. Stop making excuses for your past. What you need to be for God is what you need to be for him today. Are you growing in your spiritual life? I'm not going to give a raise of hands. In just a moment, I'm just going to ask Julie to play through. This is something that's between you and God, I believe. Now, if you want to come up and make this an old-fashioned altar, you're welcome to do that. You're always welcome for that. But let me just ask you one question that I want you to answer about you. Are you striving for the prize?